All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of James in the New Testament. The book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4. And I would like to read just one verse, preach from one verse tonight. That's verse 8. Verse 8. A very familiar verse. You probably know the first part of it anyway. James 4, verse 8. The Bible says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." All right, now what does it mean to be double-minded? You know what that means? The Bible says a double-minded, same author, he said over in the first chapter that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can put your mind with the Lord, or you can put your mind with the world. And so a double-minded is someone who is playing on both fields. And James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right, so here in this verse, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners." Now let's not all break our shoulders throwing our arms up in the air, but how many of us are sinners? Yeah. So the admonition here is cleanse your hand, sinners. All of us. All right. Cleanse your hands. And then the admonition is purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And so all of us are sinners, and therefore we have that sin nature about us. We have that part of us that longs for the world that we have to do battle with every single day. So the first part is really interesting. Draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. Now, how do you draw nigh to God? Well, James said, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. All right, so let's think about this tonight. And I want to speak to you this evening on the subject fellowship with God. That's what this verse is about. This verse is about you and me fellowshipping with the Lord, just fellowshipping with God. And God wants your fellowship. God wants you to love Him. He wants you to talk with Him. He wants you to read His book. He wants you to be in church. God just wants you to spend some time with Him and Him to spend some time with you. It's just that simple. It's not any more complicated than that. God wants our fellowship. So let's take this little verse tonight and let's look at the subject of fellowship with God. Let's pray together. Father, we ask now your blessings upon us as we look at your word. We just thank you so much for the beautiful music we have heard tonight. Thank you for the testimonies. And Lord, just thank you for all the blessings of this day. It's been a good day, and we thank you for all you've done for us. And I pray now your blessings upon us as we look at this tremendous little verse. So much is packed into this little verse. And so I pray that, Lord, you will bless this and encourage it to our hearts. And may we leave here tonight with a heartfelt passion for wanting that daily fellowship, just to walk with you and to know you and to commune with you. So, Father, stir our hearts to that purpose tonight, and we'll give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. In the Greater Catechism, the first question that was asked was, why did God create man? Why was man created? And the answer to that question is that man was created in order to fellowship with God. God wants to fellowship with you. God wants to fellowship with me. He wants all of us to fellowship and spend time with Him. He wants you to read His Word. Every day He wants you to read His Word. He wants you to pray. He wants you to come to church. And when you come to church, He wants you to pay attention. He wants you to sing. You say, well, Pastor, have you heard me sing? Well, the Lord did not tell you that you had to have a beautiful voice to sing. He said to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So, yeah, I've heard some of you sing, and it amounts to joyful noise. But, you know, as much as we may not like it, God likes it. And so you ought to sing. God enjoys fellowship. He encourages us to come and to fellowship with Him as often as we possibly can. That's what God wants. He wants us to fellowship with Him. Now, if I were to come into the office tomorrow and get on the telephone and call down to Congress and say, I would like to speak to, John McCain. The secretary that answered the phone down there would say, well, I'm sorry, sir, but Senator McCain is busy and he does not take personal phone calls. Well, if I was to call over to the White House and say, I would like to speak to the president, they would say, well, I'm sorry, sir, but he does not speak to private citizens on the telephone unless I'm going to leave that alone. But, you know, here's the good news. Should I say, Dear Heavenly Father, I never get an operator and I never get a busy signal and I never get put on hold. I mean, I am ushered right into the presence of the Creator of this universe. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I am never denied, never turned away, never put on hold. As Paul put it, I can come boldly before the throne of grace just any time I want to come, and I can find grace to help in time of need. And that's all God wants from us, is just for us as His children to come into His presence. I enjoy fellowship, and I know you enjoy fellowship. We like to fellowship with our friends. We like to fellowship with our families and with our children and with our grandchildren. But wait a minute, folks. God enjoys fellowship too. He loves it when one of His children comes around and just wants to talk and just wants to spend some time with Him. Now, I want us to look at this amazing little verse tonight and see if we can find some help for creating a real passion in each of us for this matter of fellowshipping with God. And if we do what this little verse suggests we do, I'm telling you, we can enjoy some wonderful personal fellowship with our God, and it's not difficult to do. There are three things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to notice there is a precept for fellowship. There is a precept for fellowship. You say, Pastor, what's a precept? Well, a precept is a law. It is a commandment. A precept is an instruction. It is an order that is given as an authoritative rule of action. And the instruction for that fellowship, the precept for fellowship, is found in the first statement that is made in this verse. Draw nigh to God. There's your precept right there. That's the commandment. James, notice the wording. James does not say, hey, if you don't have anything else to do, draw nigh to God. No, he doesn't say that. It is a commandment. He just comes right out, blurts it out, says it right straightforward, draw nigh to God. Just draw nigh to God. And the Spirit of God knows that you and I need this fellowship, and that we will all be so much better off if we fellowship with God. And so the precept is draw nigh to God, period. Just draw nigh to God. Christian, you have the blessed privilege of getting close to God. If you're not close to God, that is not anybody's fault but your own. Amen. I mean, we can come before the Lord. You know, we get ourselves into trouble, don't we? When we're growing up, we get ourselves into trouble because we hang around with the wrong people. I look back on my youth and on my teen years, and just about every time I got into trouble, it was because I was hanging around with the wrong people. And probably every one of us can look back to our childhood days, and we can remember our mother warning us about hanging around with certain people. My mom knew, and of course, I did not understand until she was gone, basically, is when it dawned on me and when I realized it. But my mother knew every kid in our neighborhood, and I want you to know, she had every single one of them pegged. She knew every kid in our neighborhood, and she had them all pegged. She knew their character. She would tell me what I should watch out for, and in every single instance, she had them nailed for what they were. But fellowship with God will never lead you into trouble. It never will. You will never come away from fellowshipping with God and be in trouble. You always come out of that a better person than you were when you went in. You see, the truth is, the more you hang around God, the better off you are. The more you hang around someone, the more you act like him. Isn't that true? And that's why that's why accents. And I know I don't have an accent. I know I appreciate you saying that. But that's why accents are the same in different geographical regions of the country. You see, if you go down to Atlanta, Georgia, and you hear a Boston accent, all right, you will not look at that person with the Boston accent and think for a minute that they were born and raised in Atlanta. No, you know they were a transplant. You know that they came from up north. And you know, it's exactly the same way with God. If we hang around God, we start to act like God. God rubs off on us. So a Christian can never go wrong hanging around with the Lord, when fellowshipping with the Lord. You will come away being more like God as a result of hanging around God, and you will be a better person. The divine principle here in this verse is dependent upon our location. It's just that simple. Notice that it is incumbent. Look carefully at the verse. In the verse, draw nigh to God. What's nigh mean? It means near. And so fellowship, the principle is that a fellowship is dependent upon our location. Folks, you can't go home on Sunday night and lay your Bible in the back seat of the car and leave it there all week long, and then next Sunday morning, reach in the back seat, pull it out, bring it into church, and expect to be close to God. I mean, you can't take it home and lay it on the coffee table and then cover it over with magazines and newspapers, and then the last thing before you go out the door next Sunday morning is, where's my Bible? Well, it's in the same spot probably where you dropped it last Sunday night. No, read this thing every day. This is God's word. It is God wanting to fellowship with you. And we cannot skip church, and we cannot skip Bible reading, and we cannot skip prayer and then expect that we're going to be close to God. Draw nigh to God. That's the premise here. And it is incumbent upon us, if we're going to be in fellowship with the Lord, it is incumbent upon us to be near to God. Oh, we want God's blessings. We want God near to us. But wait a minute. The principle here is that we must first be near to God. That's how it works. Look back at the previous verse. Look back at verse 7 for just a minute, and you'll see the same principle, only with a different subject. He said in verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Well, we all say, "Wow, I want the devil to flee from me." But we don't want to resist the devil. No, the principle is you resist the devil and then the devil will flee from you. But you can't entertain the devil and expect that the devil is going to flee from you. It doesn't work that way. And it doesn't work that way with fellowship with God. The principle here is draw nigh to God. If we will first draw nigh to God, then God will draw nigh to us. So the principle here is for us to draw nigh first. So this the precept of this verse says that distance from God is disobedience to God. Do you see that? I mean, distance from God is disobedience to God. Christian, I wish that I could somehow convince you just how much God wants to fellowship with you. I wish I could convince you that. Would you just take a minute and look at the distance between God and you? Just think about that for a moment. Think about the distance between you and God, and then realize that this promise is so simple. And this promise says, if I will draw near to God, God will draw near to me. So we have, first of all, the precept for fellowship. But then notice, secondly, we have the promise for fellowship. Oh, the promise here in this verse is so wonderful and it's so simple. And the promise is this: if I do what I'm supposed to do as a Christian and I draw near to God, the promise is God is going to draw near to me. It doesn't get any easier than that. But notice, we have to draw nigh to him first. But if we do, then he will draw nigh to us. Now let's think about that for just a minute. Isn't that always the way it is in real life? I mean, fellowship between others is not a one-way street. It's not a one-way street with men. And it's not a one-way street with God. I will sometimes go somewhere to preach across the country. And here in the last few years, since we've gotten the services on the internet, and folks can just go on the internet and download sermons and listen, or they can watch. And here in the last couple of years, I'll go to somebody's church and preach, and inevitably somebody will come up to me in the hallway and they will say, "Oh, I feel like I know you." And I'll say, "Well, you don't." And they'll say, "No, I know. This is the first time we've ever met, but I have watched you preach on the internet hundreds of times. Or I have downloaded all your sermons." There are several people that, bless their hearts, they have downloaded every sermon on the internet. They have an hour and a half drive to work, and they download the sermons. One fellow told me, "I listened to everything on your website. And I feel like I know you. And now, I don't know them from Adam. You with me? I don't know them from Adam, but they feel that they know me because they have listened to me preach dozens, if not hundreds, of sermons. But that's not how fellowship works, is it? Fellowship is not a one-sided thing. The promise here is that if we draw nigh to God, we can be assured that God will draw nigh to us. And that is when the fellowship takes place, when both us and God are communicating with each other. I remember when I was in college, I had a guy in my prayer group. He wasn't in my room. He lived across the hall, but he was in our prayer group, and we were friends, and I knew him well, and we ate supper together and lunch together a lot. And he was smitten with a girl at the school. And he was talking about her one day, and somebody got the yearbook down and was trying to find her in the yearbook so that a couple other fellows could see who he was talking about. And all this, he was just seeing stars over this girl, just walking into walls over this girl. And I was sitting there doing something. I was studying for a quiz that was coming up. It was right after lunch. And he mentioned her name. And I said, "Oh, I know her." And he said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "She's in several of my classes. I know her." And he said, "Well, can you introduce her to me?" And I said, "Sure." I said, you be here on Thursday." And she sits in the back. I sit in the front. I'll come out. When she comes out the door, you be standing there. I will introduce you to her. And I hope it works out for you. So the next Thursday, I came out the door, and there he stood. And so he said, "You going to introduce me?" I said, "Yeah, I will." So she came out, and I introduced the two of them together, and I said, "All right, see ya." And I turned and walked away. Well, the next day, she chewed me out. She said, "I've got a boyfriend, and I don't need a boyfriend, and I wouldn't go out with him if he's, the whole thing." And so I thought, well, this is going to crush him. And so I went back to the room, and, "Did you talk to her?" I said, "Yep." "What'd she say?" I said, "She said, get lost." And it crushed him. I mean, he was upset. He said, "Well, fooey on her." And for sure, there was no fellowship there. None whatsoever. You see, folks, the point is, if you want to have fellowship with someone else, you must put forth some kind of effort. You've got to be in their presence. Fellowship will not thrive when one of the persons is in some other place most of the time. It just doesn't work. That person who lives in another state, who listens to me preach on the internet, may feel that they know me, but if there is not two-sided communication, then we cannot possibly have fellowship. They may know me, but I do not know them. So that's the only way that there can be fellowship. And God will fellowship with those who want to fellowship with him. But there's something we need to understand about God and fellowship. And that's this. If we don't want to fellowship with him, then he's not going to fellowship with us. Now we need to understand that. We just need to realize that. God is not going to force himself upon anyone. But praise the Lord, the precept is followed by a promise. And the precept is that we draw nigh to him. That's the rule. That's the precept. But the promise is, if we do, praise the Lord will draw nigh to us. You know, I think that's what is going to make hell such a horrible place. God's not there. No fellowship. I mean, the fire in hell will be awful. I cannot imagine being in such a horrible place of suffering. But in my mind, the worst thing about hell is the fact that God is not there. That was the worst part of the suffering that Jesus had to endure when he was hanging on Calvary's cross. Remember that? When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For a period of time, for a moment, when Jesus was on that cross, when Christ took your sins and my sin and the sin of the whole world and was paying the penalty that we owe for sin, God, for a few moments, turned his back on his Son, and Jesus bore the weight of our sin alone. And to me, that's the worst part of Calvary. To me, that was worse than all the physical suffering that he had to endure. For the first time, think about it, for the first time, Jesus was abandoned by his Father as he paid our sin debt. But thank the Lord for this promise here in James 4:8, that if we draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to us. So we have the precept, we have the promise. And then thirdly, notice with me the preparation for fellowship. If you look at the remainder of the verse, you will clearly see how to prepare for the fellowship that we can have with the Lord. He says, cleanse your hands and purify your heart. Two matters. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. Now let's look at these. First, he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Both of these, hands and heart, speak to us of personal holiness. Personal holiness. If we expect to fellowship with a holy God, we must first be holy as we come near to him. Our hands speak to us of holiness of actions. You see, we cannot live like the devil and have the filth of the world all over us and then expect to come into God's presence. When Adam sinned against God, the Bible says he went and hid himself among the trees of the garden. And God, as he had done in the previous days, came down in the cool of the day to fellowship with Adam. But Adam was nowhere to be found. You say, well, Pastor, why in the world would Adam not want a fellowship with God? Same reason we don't want a fellowship with God. Got dirty hands. He had sinned. He had sinned against God. I've told you before, and you've heard it before, but D.L. Moody had written in the fly leaf of his Bible, and it said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Sin will keep you away from fellowshipping with God. And then James reminds us to prepare for fellowship by purifying our hearts. You see, in the Bible, your heart is your mind. It's your person. It's who you are. One author I read while studying for this message said, your hands speak of holy manners and your heart speaks of holy meditations. In other words, what goes on up here? Is what goes on up here holy meditations? Is what goes on up here the right kind of thought life? And it's so true, folks, that you are what you have been becoming. What you've been thinking is what you are today. Your hands speak of holy manners and your heart speaks of holy meditations. You know, this is one reason why we sing before we preach the Bible. We sing to get our hearts on the Lord. We sing to get our thoughts on the Lord. And Isaiah said it this way, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Did you ever get a song in your head and you just couldn't seem to get it out? You ever have that happen to you? You just get a song in your head and you can't get it out. Well, James is telling us that the song of the Lord needs to be in our hearts. That's what needs to be on our minds. And James's point is that we must have a clean mind in order to fellowship with God. The Apostle Paul talked about how Christians need to be careful with their thought life. Be careful with what you allow to bounce around in there. He talked about these Christians, quote unquote, who have eyes full of adultery. Oh, that just, the devil will wear you out with that stuff. The devil will wear you out with that. Keep your thoughts pure. Don't let the devil sneak in there and give you wicked thoughts. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So if you want a fellowship, well, the precept is draw nigh to God. And then the promise is God will draw nigh to you. And then the preparation is keep your heart right with God. Clean hands and a clean mind. And the end result is fellowship. Man, there's nothing like fellowship, especially with God. All right, now let me ask you a question. For you adults, for you married folks, do you remember when you realized you were in love with the person that you're married to tonight? Come on, guys, think back. Remember that? I mean, you thought about them. You thought about her or about him. You thought about them all day. When you woke up, they were on your mind. And when you went to sleep, they were on your mind. Throughout the whole day, you wondered, what are they doing? They were on your mind, but also on your heart as you thought of them with loving thoughts. And folks, that's how God wants us to feel about fellowship with Him. Yeah, I'm afraid there's just too many folks that go through the week and they don't think about the Lord. I'm afraid that's true. I'm afraid that there's too many Christians that just don't read their Bible through the week. Oh, Christian, read your Bible. Love it. Learn it. Study it. Meditate upon it. Hide it in your heart so you won't sin against God. Get alone and just read your Bible. Paul told us in Philippians 4:8 to think on those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and are of good report. Think on those things. So how do you get something from your mind to your heart? Well, I'll tell you how you do it. You think about it. You think about it. I still remember that day when I came out of the church office and walked down the hallway down in St. Albans, West Virginia, and I turned the corner, and when I turned the corner, there was Karen standing there. And a friend of ours introduced me to her. I still remember that. I still remember hearing bells go off. I mean, sirens were blaring. Planes were crashing to the earth. Stars were shooting across the sky. It was one of the most amazing things. I still remember that. I remember standing there going, oh, mercy, look at her. I remember like it was yesterday. And I thought about her, and I thought about her, and I thought about her. And then one day I realized, wow, I'm in love with this woman. I am in love with this woman. How did I get from here to here? I got there by thinking. It was a conscious decision. And I thought about her until I thought from my head to my heart. Now, can you imagine how impressed she would have been had I taken her by the hand and said, look at me, And when she looked at me, I smiled and said, "Karen, I want you to realize that I love you with all my mind." Oh boy, how romantic is that? Yeah, that'd have knocked her off her feet, wouldn't it? No. I love you with all my
heart.
Yep. Where's your heart tonight? Where's your heart? And James said, a double-minded man, you don't want to be a double-minded man. No, sir, you want to be a man that has one heart that goes to God. And if you will draw nigh to God, the promise is God will draw nigh to you. And he's never failed on that promise. Enjoy that fellowship that's available to you, Christian. Think about it. I mean, you, an old sinner saved by grace. You, an old sinner, can fellowship with the God of creation. Yes, you, little old you, just a nobody, can commune with the God who spoke and brought the entire universe into existence. He wants your fellowship, and he is just waiting for you to draw nigh to him. And brethren, when you do, here's the good part. He will draw nigh to you.